Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Houston Texans. Aaron, what's going on this morning?
Hey, how are you?
We're good. I said earlier in the morning that I doubted there will be a whole lot of carryover from Houston's loss to Denver this past week. How do you see that element of this game?
Yeah, you know, that game was so surprisingly bad that it feels more like a one-off than the beginning of some troubling trend. I mean, I think the Houston secondary is just not that good. I think the pass rush is just not really there. So I think Drew Lock had some success as a result of those things. But the Texans probably are not that bad of a team most days. They didn't show up for whatever reason. All that being said, though, I think obviously it puts them in a bit of a bind here at the end of the season now with two games against the Titans to close it out.
Yeah, you talk about the Texans secondary. The Titans secondary has injuries to deal with. How much of a challenge will it be facing this Houston receiver core that's outstanding?
Yeah, I mean, it'll obviously depend on how efficient or how if they have Will Fuller. The Texans, you know, they didn't have him last week, and he's kind of been in and out of the lineup all year, and really the whole time he's been with the Texans. When they have him, I mean, the numbers are pretty devastating. I mean, it's pretty obvious just kind of the impact he has, and in terms of just changing the geometry of the offense, you know, really just kind of commanding attention even if he's not getting the ball. And when they have him and they have DeAndre Hopkins, they have Kenny Stills, I mean, that's really tough to defend, especially on third down, right, where there's more man defense. But, you know, if he's not in there, the things are a little bit easier for them.
How interesting is the dynamic between Bill O'Brien and Mike Vrabel? You know, of course, they've worked together, and now we'll play two of the last three games against one another.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think if you talk to Texans players and you talk to O'Brien and stuff, I mean, they all express respect for Vrabel and kind of what he's done pretty quickly in Tennessee.
Our guest is Aaron Reese. He covers the Houston Texans for The Athletic.
Yes, Aaron, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, it seems like that's what the Texans are. I guess, why do you think they've been so inconsistent throughout this season? In one game, they look like, Super Bowl bound. Next game, they look like, you know, they're one of the lower-level teams in the National Football League.
Yeah, you know, it really, I mean, it's been kind of a problem. It's been a problem for the Texans under O'Brien, just in general. Getting up for really big games and then kind of, allowing the, I don't know if you want to say they're kind of a hangover from the past game or just, looking past the past. But, I mean, it's been a problem for them, with him in general. Then this year, if you just kind of look at some of their big wins, you know, beat Kansas City on the road, right? And the next week they get shredded by Jacoby Brissett, the best game he's had of his career in Indianapolis, and lose that game. They dominate the Jaguars and they have a bye week after playing London, and then they get completely smoked by the Ravens. Now, Ravens are a good team, obviously. Losing the Ravens, I don't think there's any shame in that, but the way they lost the Ravens was particularly ugly. And then, of course, you know, they beat the Patriots and they lose to the Broncos. And even if you go back to, you know, earlier in the season, their first road win, they beat the Chargers. At the time, that was a pretty big win. You know, the Chargers had fallen apart kind of the way that we've now seen them falling apart. And then the next week, they lose to the Kyle Allen-led Panthers at home, in which I think they score like 10 points. So, you know, that's just kind of the nature of the team. The flip side of that is that, you know, when they have a disappointing loss, I think that they always need to bounce back and stuff. And so that'll be real interesting to see here, because in those bounce-back games, they have not tended to come against teams as hot as Tennessee.
Well, has he come up with the reasons why they've always gotten off to these slow starts in games?
No, I mean, he really hasn't. I think at times, obviously, when the game gets out of hand kind of quickly for one reason or another, like in the game against Denver, there was a fumble recovered for a touchdown, like some 70 yards off a lateral. It's a very bizarre play. And, after that, it kind of ruined the game script because then suddenly they're down 14 points in the first quarter and probably the second time all year. And, you know, they can't really run anymore, even though they run the ball well. And it messed things up. But, I mean, they have been terrible on first quarters in general. They're averaging something like 0.91 points per drive. And that's only slightly better than what they did first quarter since Brock Osweiler was the quarterback. And I think everyone could say that getting close to Brock Osweiler level efficiency with Deshaun Watson as your quarterback is a pretty bad sign.
Aaron, one of the things that you wrote about, I think, was, you know, how the Titans are probably going to attack the Texans, you know, with play action, not only because Tannehill right now is the best in the league at it, but also that that Drew Lock had a lot of success. I think he was 6 of 7 for a 130 last week. So what about that element of this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bunch of reasons for that, right? The biggest one being that the Texans really, you know, play action obviously can take a little bit longer to develop, and that's not something the Texans really can make you pay for. Now they don't do it a lot. They, you know, with the exception of kind of hitting Brady a lot when they play the Patriots, which again I think is kind of more a product of doing with those problems on offense than anything else. They really just have not gotten much pressure to quarterbacks throughout their lot. And so, you know, if they can't make you pay for standing in the pocket for a little bit longer waiting for the play to develop, then that's going to be a problem. And, you know, on top of that, their secondary just can't hold up on longer developing plays. They just don't have kind of the depth of the talent level across the board at corner. So I think that that could be something that's really going to be vulnerable for them. And I expect the Titans are going to, you know, hammer it just like they've been hammering it with Tannehill.
What about, too, the Houston running game? Carlos Hyde has, I think, over 900 yards. It would just seem like when he's running effectively, that offense really starts cooking.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's been kind of arguably the biggest pleasant surprise for them on the season. You know, they traded for him on cutdown day in exchange for Martinez Rank on a third-round pick in 2018. But a guard who probably was going to get cut or was, you know, was definitely certainly on the roster bubble. And so, they swapped two guys that were probably not going to make the respective teams they were on originally, Hyde with the Chiefs and Rankin, obviously, in Houston. And it's worked out great for them. You know, Hyde is not necessarily a super explosive or flashy runner, but he rarely loses yards. He's falling forward. And that's a big thing because in the last year, you know, they had much more of a boom or bust running game on first down and get stuffed a lot or gained big chunks of yardage. And that would put Watson in more third and longs, and it would just make the offense, less predictable or less efficient. And so now Hyde's been a real boon for them in that case. But he hasn't been great for the past few weeks.
All right. The Texans obviously, you know, put a lot into this season, traded away a significant portion of their future. Aaron, if they don't make the playoffs, what happens?
You know, I had someone talk to me about that, asked me about that recently. Like, what happens if they lose out or whatever? I still don't think they're going to lose out. I haven't given too much thought to it. But, you know, I think even if they did, which would be, you know, pretty just wildly disappointing for the team. But even if they did, I don't think O'Brien would lose a job. And I know that seems crazy, but, you know, you have to keep in mind that the McNair family, the ownership, they just went in on this plan. You know, they just fired the GM who was his friend prior to working together. And they allowed him to trade away all the future to get Laramie Tunsil and all these things. I think that, for better or worse, once you kind of, you go down the road with this, you can't just, back out on it a season later. And not that, you know, O'Brien's history with the team would suggest that his leash is probably longer than you or I would think it is.
Aaron, great stuff. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Aaron Reese of The Athletic. He covers the Houston Texans. Titans opponent on Sunday at noon over at Nissan Stadium. 9:44 the time. The Wake Up Zone powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We'll have some of your tweets that we haven't had a chance to get to when we come back. And if you'd like to join us, 615-737-1045. More Wake Up Zone coming up next. Hang around.